It's Marketplace Tech for July 30th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Facebook gave the world an official update this week, and I'm not talking about posting a political rant or a baby photo. The company's latest profit report beat expectations with over $4 billion in revenue. Facebook grew in mobile users and in daily active users. But the overall reaction was mixed. Why? Brian Blau at Gartner says this is a 1 billion user company that is no longer growing like a startup.
There has to be some sort of ceiling to the number of people that want to join in on the Facebook network, especially in the more what we call mature geographies like the United States and core Europe. So that's where their penetration is already really high, and we're not going to see that much growth from here on out.
One thing not up for debate, though, is that Facebook is finding a way to squeeze more pennies out of the users it does have.
Advertisers want to put their ads in front of Facebook users. And I think that we continue to see that as Facebook presses down and attracts more advertisers in local communities. And I think that's really where they're going to get a lot of expansion from in the future as well.
Brian Blau there at Gartner. You know, with social media action of that scale, there's always a reaction to be found. Perhaps you've heard of Elo, the social network that promises to not sell its user data to advertisers. Well, there's a brand new social network gaining quick traction called Minds.com. The company's software is free and open source. In an era when the user has become the product, Minds is trying to be the anti-Google, anti-Facebook social network of the future. Bill Ottman is founder and CEO of Minds. Hi, Bill. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Can you explain Minds.com? What is this?
So Minds is a free, open source, and encrypted social networking platform.
Why is encryption such a big part of this? I would imagine you probably still face some challenges of getting a user base that actually cares about that.
Yeah, I mean, we've intentionally designed it so that you don't have to care about it. In fact, the only difference is that in order to access your messages, you have to do a secondary layer of password, which makes it so that actually we as Minds don't even have access to the content of user messages, mm-hmm. which we did on purpose because we don't even want to have the option to look at people's messages.
Do you think there's a tipping point at which personal data collection becomes like too much? Are you just kind of like building this thing and sort of waiting and being like, hey, when you guys want to like come over to a place where your data isn't mined in the way that it is by all these other companies, we're here?
It is definitely something that people are going to care about more and more. So of the top 100 sites in the world, only 3 are open source. Those are Wikipedia, Reddit, and WordPress. They have essentially all proven that the model works, even from a financial perspective. So I think that the same thing is going to happen with social networking, that there's going to be a free and open and encrypted alternative that just enters into the top 100. And I kind of think that the top network on the planet inevitably is just going to be something that is powered by the people. So we'll see, though.
That's optimistic. Yeah. You don't think it'll get bought before it becomes the top?
Well, the cool thing about free software is that once you put it out there, it's always out there.
Bill Ottman is founder and CEO of the free open source social network Minds. Bill, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Today is a big day if you're into blowing up pigs and collapsing complex structures with bird slingshots. 6 years after making a mobile game blockbuster of epic proportions, the Finnish gaming company Rovio is releasing Angry Birds 2. The company has built Angry Birds theme parks. It's working on a movie for 2016. But the gaming market it entered in 2009 has changed. New York Times technology columnist Farhad Manju joins me to talk more about this. Hi, Farhad. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be here.
All right, Angry Birds. I want to make some of the sounds right now. It's like,
That's pretty good.
So this has apparently been downloaded now 2.5 billion times. How has this become such a successful title?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of the first mobile games to go big and to have this kind of huge cultural influence. You know, they got the game mechanics right. It was addictive and it was fun and it hooked you. And so then, you know, you kept playing because, like, every free moment was an opportunity to play.
I feel like when the game first came out and became really popular, it was like the only game I saw people playing on the subway, right? And now it's like you've got Candy Crush, you've got
Clash of Clans.
Yeah, Clash of Clans. You're running down the train track, whatever game that is, and jumping on, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot more crowded in the game space, but it's just also more crowded in apps. There's just many, many more apps. There's more stuff to do on your phone that you can goof off with. Now, I wouldn't discount, like, they have this huge kind of marketing advantage. It's Angry Birds. Like, everyone who played the first Angry Birds, or a lot of those people, if you loved it, you're probably going to come back to this new one if you hear about it.
Does it have to be different?
I suspect that they probably don't want to make it too different because it has to be Angry Birds. It
right.
has to feel like they're in a familiar place, but you also don't want it to be the same and feel the same because then why are you there? And it's the nature of the product. They're entertainment products and they're unpredictable. You know, it's in the same way that movie studios just don't quite know, like, whether their next movie is going to be a hit or not. It's so rare for a cultural company to kind of keep making hit products. And that's, you know, the problem these game makers face.
Farhad Manju is the New York Times technology columnist. Farhad, thank you very much.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
And this week, an Amazon executive suggested the company get its own little piece of airspace for drone delivery. Remember, this is America, though, so the other drone story I have for you is about Kentucky resident William Meredith. He greeted a drone hovering over his property this week with number 8 birdshot out of his shotgun. He says he was defending his property. The drone's owners say otherwise. The court case is pending. Number 8 birdshot maybe has a bright sales future in our brave new world. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.